Introducing Elvis Presley.
Built around the fiery personality of Elvis Presley.
Here is an Elvis Presley you've never seen before.
It's Elvis on a love campaign.
It's Elvis, Hawaiian style.
And Elvis takes both sides.
Elvis rocking and socking on the waterfront.
Elvis brings you the vacation of your life.
A different kind of man, Elvis Presley.
It's a new Elvis, one you've never seen before.
Viva Elvis, Viva and Margaret.
Now he crowns his meteoric rise to fame with a fiery burst of dramatic power.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Starring Elvis Presley podcast. I'm Libby.
And I'm Sheena.
And today we're talking about G.I. Blues.
G.I. Blues. We just finished it.
That's right. Moments ago. This is Elvis's fifth movie.
Yes. It was released in November 23rd, 1960. So this is, if you're keeping track at home, you probably noticed that King Creole came out in 58. This is a full 2 years later. What was he doing in all that time? In 2 years? I mean, was he slacking off? What? What's going on? But he was in the Army. So
he was an actual GI.
Yes. And
how fitting.
So, yeah. He came home from the Army in March 1960 and began filming this in April. So it was kind of a quick turnaround there.
That's pretty cool. And so his character's Tulsa.
Yes, Tulsa.
His love interest is Lily.
Aww.
Tell us, do we have any more statistics about this? How are critics?
Critics.
Gotta get that out of the way.
Critics weren't that nice to it. I did read one review, and I wanted to say it was from Variety, where they said it was sort of like any of those musicals that came out during World War II or after, sort of just, you know, nothing really all that special. The songs were fine, dancing was fine, but nothing special. So they were a little harsh to it.
So if you want to just kick back and watch the pretty people sing a few numbers, maybe an occasional fight or two. It's not a thinker.
Yeah,
this
no.
is not like his last movie. This is just sit back and relax and watch the movie.
Yeah, and you know, as usual, even though the critics didn't love it, the fans did. It ranked number 2 for the week on Variety's chart, and then it ended up being the 14th highest grossing film of the year. So even though it was not, you know, loved, it didn't. It's not like it won, you know, an Academy Award or anything. But the fans enjoyed it, and that's all that matters.
That's so. Right. That's right. So let's talk about plot.
Yeah.
So help me out with this.
Yeah, I mean, this plot is very much. It is very lighthearted. It's there's not, you know, we've said in other movies, there were several other plots going on in addition to the main driving plot of the film.
Yeah.
And this one's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. The A plot is Tulsa trying to win a bet with Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And then the B plot is very minor. It's his character, his friend and fellow trooper with him. Cookie trying to get entangled with Lily's roommate,
right?
Tina.
Yeah, and
but it was very small of a plot.
Yeah, and all of the guys in their in the army there, they also have this bet to win Lily's heart because she is notoriously, as they call her, cold.
She's
an iceberg.
The ice queen.
But, I mean, as I told Libby, to me, if you're a showgirl, a dancer, a singer, in one of these towns where you have an army base, you're probably going to get a little jaded with a bunch of
young GIs
coming in.
Germany.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, so I think one of the characters describes her as, like, hot on the inside and freezing cold on the hot on the outside, freezing cold on the inside.
Something like that,
and it's, yeah, so what you were saying, it was when you look at this plot at first glance on the surface, it's pretty, you know, it's kind of sexist, maybe, you know, you're using,
fashion.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, and when I sort of realized that was what the plot was, I was like, oh man, it's sort of when it's just old school, guys gonna get the girl, and calling her things like iceberg, I thought that was a little, you know, unfair, you don't even know her yet, but to me, it actually, I kind of found some, really kind of, I found myself siding with Lily and being like, she's really, really cool because she tells all the guys sort of what she thinks and she's not afraid to say no. She's not afraid to say, hey, shut up. I don't like that.
Yeah, Elvis calls her honey several times at the beginning and she says, don't call me honey.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And sets him straight. And that's something that you find out as the movie progresses and their relationship kind of happens more and more, that they do value that in each other, the quick banter. And she's not kind of that typical girl that'll go along with whatever guy she's with says at the moment.
Right.
So she'll correct him, and she'll kind of snap back and say, no, I don't like that, or no, don't call me that, or he just says hi, when he just greets her as hi, not hi, honey, or hey, ma'am,
right.
or, and she goes, hi, I like that better, just stick with that.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, I feel like that would be kind of straightforward for a woman at the time to be, just to say, yeah, I'll tell you what I want without
right,
you even asking,
right, right.
and for that to be valued and respected in that relationship. So
right.
it does kind of have a quick turnaround from today's lens.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like had you just had the same old story of a bunch of guys trying to win over a girl's heart and her sort of being like, I don't really want to have anything to do with any of this, that would have been terrible. But having her, having a mind of her own, speaking her own way and saying, hey, listen, I like you, let's hang out, but you're going to treat me the way I want to be treated. That to me was the saving grace of the film. I love Juliette Prose plays Lily, and she's just so charismatic throughout the whole movie. And I think she had such good chemistry with Elvis.
Yeah.
They played off each other very well, and it was fun to watch them interact.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. It seems like a real relationship as opposed to, just your typical fill-in-the-blank, which is what I'm kind of, Anyway, I'm stumbling over words now. And this was only 103 minutes.
Yeah, but we saw Elvis right away.
Right away. We checked because I thought, oh, was he the first one to speak? But he was the third. but it was pretty immediate there.
Yeah. So, and the cool thing was, too, was, of course, with every Elvis movie, not only is he, you know, a GI or he's a... of this or that, he's also a singer,
right?
And so,
of course.
And so he does sing a few numbers in this, but they felt pretty natural to the plot. I mean, it wasn't like that it was just like, oh, let's just randomly throw in a song. No, it's he's singing a lullaby to a baby. He's
right.
You know, I mean, it was things like that, just little things like that I thought were kind of nice.
Right, and we're kind of ignoring the actual B plot. It's not just Cookie and Tina, but so his bandmates within the army are trying to save up enough money or earn enough money via this bet with who can get Lily first, for lack of a better term. But they're trying to save up enough money to open a nightclub when they go back to Oklahoma. So that's what, and I guess what also is going on. So
they want to
have be an amateur singer songwriter, and this is the way that they're trying to start their career off in the army.
Exactly.
Because also, you know, which whoever in the army doesn't sing in the shower with their buddies and
happens all the time.
Yeah, typical.
It might. I don't know. I've never been in the army. But, but I mean, it was a really cute movie. It's very... If you need something to pick you up, something to just have a good couple of laughs over, it'll put a smile on your face, that's for sure. It's definitely... There's no big dramatic moment of, oh, God, someone just died or anything like that. It's very lighthearted, very fun.
Yeah. So, coming up, we've got a few more... we're just getting started with Elvis movies, really.
Right.
But a few... movies ahead is Blue Hawaii, who's also directed by the same director who directed G.I. Blues.
Right. Norman Terrig, and I hope I'm saying that right. If I'm not, someone correct me. I'm sure you will. He directed actually 9 Elvis movies. This was his first. And then he directed Blue Hawaii, Girls, 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 It Happened at the World Fair, Tickle Me, Spin Out, Double Trouble, Speedway, and Live a Little, Love a Little. And here's the thing. He directed 180 films total.
Wow.
For like over... 30 years.
Oh my gosh.
He also directed non-Elvis movies like Boys Town and The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. But Live a Little, Love a Little, it wasn't just the last Elvis movie he made. That was the last movie he made. That was his very last movie.
Oh, wow.
And we've got some more trivia if you want to hear.
Love the trivia. Give me some trivia.
So, yeah, obviously Elvis was in the army, and he was stationed in Germany. And while he was there, producer Hal Wallace visited him in August of 1959. And while he was there in the German countryside, U.S. military operations were shot for the film. And if you notice, you don't see Elvis in any of that. If you do, sort of can tell what is, you know, the difference between the real stuff and the movie-made stuff.
Yeah.
But the U.S. Army did supply tanks and crews for those shots, which I think that's really cool.
That's really cool. When we were watching it, the little... there was a card at the very beginning that says, produced in full cooperation with the U.S. Army.
Yeah, which
so
is
that
really
was cool.
Neat.
That was noticeable.
Yeah, it makes for good 4th of July watching, I think.
Oh, that's right.
But speaking of, the initial initial title for the film was Christmas in Berlin, which there's no Christmas in this.
Yeah, maybe they did they take that out, I wonder, maybe. After they changed the title? Because we were thinking, when we watched the movie and then looked at the trivia, and I was like, did I miss some Christmas trees or caroling or something? But yeah. I did not. Yeah, I didn't notice that either.
Yeah, and another title was Cafe Europa, which that's where, obviously, mm-hmm. Lily was the dancer.
That would have been in keeping with the King Creole type titles, because that was the bar nightclub that he was in then for
yeah,
that movie.
Yeah, but I like G.I. Blues. I like the song, too, so
right.
I like that title. So his leading lady, as we said, was dancer-actress Juliette Prowse. She was actually engaged to Frank Sinatra while they were making this movie. She did not end up marrying Frank Sinatra. She was engaged to him for just a few minutes, mm-hmm. which, how cool is that?
A brief affair.
There you go. During the production of this movie, Elvis was actually visited on the set by lots of famous dignitaries from around the world. The king and queen of Thailand visited, and several princesses from countries like Denmark, Sweden, Norway. So
yeah.
That's kind of cool.
There's a famous photo of Elvis with the princess of Sweden. That we wish we could show you here on the podcast, but alas, that's not how this medium works.
I'm sure we have it on Graceland.com.
Yes, we could probably find it online.
Or something like that.
And you can see Elvis kind of kneeling in front of her in his GI outfit, which I'm sure is actually known as a uniform, as I'm saying GI outfit. It's probably not what it's called. But yeah, he stayed in that uniform the entire
right.
movie. So
yeah, he
it was
did.
A break
yeah.
for the costume designer on set.
Right. And also, while he was on the Paramount lot, because let me say, all of Elvis' scenes were not filmed in Germany. They were filmed back in Hollywood.
Okay.
He attended a birthday party for Dean Martin on the Paramount lot, which...
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, how cool is that? I'm gonna go to Dean Martin's birthday
That's
party.
That's a party I want to go to.
I know. With his music and movie career taking off again and his having to travel so much, Elvis actually wrote to the U.S. Army and requested to be placed on standby reserve rather than active reserve. And this is the status he held until his full discharge in 1964.
Wow.
Yeah. And Jeremy Slate played Turk. Later, he had a role in Girls, 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 so you'll see him twice. Three different sets of twins were used to play the role of Tiger, the baby that Tulsa and Lily babysit, which, that's a great name.
Yeah.
Tiger.
Also, I feel like, I don't know, we'd have to count, but I feel like he was in it for, like, less than 6 minutes total, and there needed to be six babies to cover that role.
There is one, that whole crying jag, where I hope they switched the babies out.
Man.
I hope that one baby didn't cry that whole time.
He had some pipes on him.
Oh,
whichever set of twins that was, that baby had some pipes for sure.
And I think that baby was really crying.
Oh, for sure. He was in distress.
But that's what I wondered too, and we mentioned this while we were watching, like, Elvis was 25 when he made this movie. Like, how many babies had he held or dealt with before this? So that's kind of funny. I may not pronounce her name correctly. I hope I am. Miss Austria, 1957. She was also a Las Vegas showgirl. She had a small role in this movie. You can see her as a singer during one of Tulsa's dates with Lily. And she was friends with Elvis. And she and her roommate, Kathy Gabriel, spent Christmas with the Presley family at Graceland in 1958. So that's kind of cool.
That's really cool. I kind of want to go back and watch and find her.
And G.I. Blues had a sneak preview in Dallas, Texas on August 18th, 1960. It was played on a number of military bases before it opened nationwide on November 23rd, which I think that's cool to show it to the military first.
That's really cool.
I like that.
Classy move.
Very classy. On November 15th, 1960, there was a special showing of the film in Hollywood to benefit the Hemophilia Foundation, and Ronald Reagan, Juliette Prowse, and Cesar Romero all attended that, which that's just neat.
Wait, what year was that?
That was 1960.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That was when Reagan was still an actor, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, he was still still behind the camera.
Part of Hollywood.
In front of the camera.
Part of Hollywood then.
Yeah. So so that's it for trivia. And next week we're going to have Flaming Star.
Yeah, so y'all make sure, watch ahead of time. You know, there's going to be spoilers throughout all of these podcasts, but don't worry, they've been out for several decades, so you're going to have a chance to watch. But yeah, our next episode is about Flaming Star, so make sure you watch that and tell us what you think. Live tweet when you're watching. Send us your thoughts on Facebook, Elvis Presley's Graceland.
We'd love to know what you think about it, because we're telling you what we think, but what do you think? Send us messages on Facebook. We're on Facebook. Facebook as Elvis Presley's Graceland. We are on Instagram and Twitter as @VisitGraceland. So just send us messages. We'll try to collect them up, and we'll read your thoughts.
Yeah, we want to give you a shout out too.
Yeah, definitely.
So when you have to come to Graceland too, because there's so much to see. But make sure when you come to Graceland, you check out the VIP exhibit, Elvis in Hollywood. It's from teen idol to leading man. We've got costumes, scripts, awards.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool things that you really don't get to experience anywhere else in the world, but here in Memphis at Elvis Presley's Graceland.
Yeah, and hurry up. You only have about 2 months to see
that
because it'll go down in March. But yeah, we'd love to see you, Graceland. Tweet us your thoughts. Send us a message about your thoughts about this, about Flaming Star, and we'll see you on the next episode.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.